ever hear this story of when we visited my sister and Paul was a little guy and they swung out over a ravine, you're talking about a ravine, on a rope, you know, and then back.
Yeah.
So they decided to let Paul try it. Paul, you did it, so why don't you tell us?
I don't remember it.
He was only two or three.
Yeah, but
he had to grab a hold of this cable, you know.
My sister had five
swung
boys.
Him out over there.
And so they thought they'd swing Paul out there, which they did, but when he got over the ravine, he let go. And he plummeted to the ground and they were horrified and he just laid there. Of course, we didn't witness that.
Is he dead?
Yeah, they didn't. Then all of a sudden he started to cry and so they were glad he was okay.
Yeah. So
they went running home and left me
there
for dead.
I think maybe they did.
So on the way over here, Paul and I were talking about how he had about 5 years with you guys after Martha left for school. Uncle Paul was a bit of an only child.
Oh, yeah.
For a while, and that you and him really connected over woodworking and projects.
Yeah, we made a lot of projects.
Now maybe I'm getting Martha in trouble a little bit here, but she also said that you guys at that point, your attitudes toward parenting had changed a bit, and that you were maybe a little more easy on Paul.
I was the spoiled little.
He was spoiled.
Little brother.
Yeah, used to say, you wouldn't let us do that.
Yeah, that's what Martha was saying.
Yeah, Mom, we couldn't. You wouldn't let us do that. But see, they oriented him.
Yeah.
So he knew his parameters.
Sure.
He was smart enough to stay within those parameters.
I don't ever remember what I could do that they couldn't do.
Well, yeah, you probably weren't aware of that. So what were some of the things that you and Paul would build together?
Oh, I don't know. We just lived, didn't we?
Well, we did. We built your shop.
Yeah, we built the shop. I was there in the garage.
They
partitioned off, or is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The two-car garage, the outer one, into the shop.
How old were you when I decided to buy that shop, Smith? 11?
No, I was older than that.
Older than that?
Because 11 years old, that would have been early 70s.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Paul and I went to a demonstration over at the mall.
In front of Sears.
Shop Smiths, the big tool that you can do almost anything with, and I don't know if you persuade me to buy it, but I was chatting.
I'm sure I didn't persuade you to buy it. I wouldn't have had that
influence. We decided to buy one, and that started a part of my woodworking career. So we had to have a place to put it, so we partitioned off the garage.
Your complete wall, you know, from ceiling.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of smart though too. That wall, we had a big window in our living room at that house, and it got a leak or something, so we had it replaced. So we took that window and put it in the wall in the garage, so we had a window looking out from the shop into the garage. So mother could come to the door in the garage and shake rag, and I would see it and come in. Yeah. Remember, Paul, we had that window in there?
Yeah.
Well, the shopsmith was so versatile because you could move it anywhere. Mm. See? Well, most of the time we moved it out into the big part of the garage to work on projects, yeah.
I went to work for Shop Smith because of that.
Yeah. Mm. quite a tough goal with all those years. You just get going with one job and then it cancels it out on you. I really thought you were you'd be able to stay up there at UNI when you got that job for the...
I went chasing my shopsmith dream, though.
Yeah, no. But anyhow.
Yeah, so I remember working on tables.
Yeah.
You'd order kits.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Paul got that job, what was it exact?
In charge of the lab, weren't you? Yeah. The woodworking lab?
Yeah.
After he graduated from Iowa State, and he bought a...
How many? You were there two or three years?
2 years. This isn't about me, this is about you guys.
Oh, well,
you're part of it. Sorry, LeBron.
Well, then of course, the industrial ed department didn't get funding for the lab, so he didn't have a job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was on a year-by-year contract.
Got it.
Yeah.
So.
And that's when you went with
Shopsmith
on to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And they decided not to fund that. Your academy, didn't they?
Yeah.
You're just a program killer there.
I am. I know it. Everywhere I went. And from there, I went to Archon Fiber Optics, and they went under.
Yeah, well.
People definitely going to stop hiring you.
Well, anyhow.
Yep.
Post office is still around. That's good.
Despite that, isn't it? Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the projects we did.
You and me?
Yeah.
This chair? Did we do this chair?
I think we did.
I don't know. Well?
But I remember you had a small coffee table we built. I remember that.
Yeah. A little tub table, that thing.
And bookcases. I helped you refinish that, yeah.
Yeah. We bought that for $35. Had, six coats of paint on it?
Well, I don't think quite that many, but...
All right. Four is enough then.
Oh, so you guys sanded all that paint off down to the wood, huh?
Yeah, stripped it, yeah.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
We finished that one over there. Oh, we finished this thing. Paul, what am I going to do about these breaks in here?
Well, we're going to take that down to the antique place.
Yeah, build to order.
Are you gonna do this one?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, Grandma has a very strict schedule about eating.
About what?
Eating. You have to eat breakfast.
I'm trying to find the name of that restaurant.
You have to eat lunch and you have to eat dinner. It doesn't matter what.
I guess I threw those plans away, Paul.
So one time when Larry was visiting, we went on a Iowa wine tour.
Oh.
The southeast Iowa.
Oh.
So I came up to Ames and went, no, you guys drove down. Larry drove down and picked me up. And so plan was to eat breakfast after they picked me up. Well, things were a little delayed, so we ended up eating breakfast late. And we went down to Gateway Market in Des Moines and had this big breakfast. And so the first stop, there's a winery when we went southeast. We stopped at a winery, and then the next stop was Pella, because we had to stop at the Pella Bakery.
Never will forget that stop.
But, so we had just had breakfast at, I don't know, we finished at like 10:30 or something. But it was 12:30, 1 o'clock, so it was time for lunch. So we had to go to the Pella Tea Room. And none of us were hungry, but Mom was.
Well, you and Larry went into the.
All right.
But we went into the bakery.
The bakery, and of course we also we had breakfast. We had lunch, and then
a long time.
Had to go to the bakery out within a matter of 3 hours.
Yeah. No.
Because it was time to eat.
Jarzma. Jarzma
bakery, yes.
So, Grandpa, you know, I don't know if this story is true or not, but you used to love to tell the story about the lights going off during dinner.
Where?
One time. The lights going out during dinner one time. Everybody was sitting at the table. And,
oh, that's kind of a fabric.
Well, yeah, whether it's true or not, could you tell that story to me?
Well, you know, she prepared meals for, well, not so much with Paul, because he was on, for, well, let's say for at least 7 people. And when Paul came along, he was always in the high chair. Well, we decided we're going to have pork chops. Or she did, which he prepared. And somehow there was an extra pork chop. And left on the platter on the table. I don't know, something happened and the lights flickered and they went out. You know, as they sometimes do. Well, as the story goes, then they came back on immediately. And the story is, there I am with my hand on the pork chop. And I got 5 forks in the back of it. Sounds good.
Yeah, hungry kids.
The story goes, yeah.
You had to be quick with your family if you wanted to get anything to eat.
And I always remember growing up, it always started at the oldest. And me being the youngest, I got what was ever left over.
Oh, you throw the likes of Carl and Frank into the picture.
Okay, I can't find that restaurant name. Isn't that crazy? What is that?
But he had a year left for his architecture degree, and so the Navy extended him another year.
Wait, this was for Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
But see, he no longer had that financial help from the Navy, so he moved home. Remember when he squeezed in down there in that larger living room when he had his little area cordoned off where he worked on his architecture's designs and these sorts of things. You don't remember that? I think...
I do, now that makes sense because I do have memories of Mark around with, so okay, that makes sense now.
He was always kind of in seclusion down there because, you know, architecture is pretty demanding.
Right, but yeah, so that makes sense now because I have memories of Mark being home, but it never made sense to me.
Yeah.
Because I thought he had the 4 years and then he was gone.
No.
Oh, so that makes sense, okay.
No, He really got his commission at the end of 4 years.
Right.
But they didn't give it to him yet.
Right.
Until he really graduated with his
architecture degree. Yeah, he had a year of deferment.
And so he moved home and he moved into that larger, and he had kind of his own little corner down there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Now I remember that. That always confused me because I couldn't fit that into the timeline.
was that difficult having him back again?
No, not really. I don't remember a whole lot about it because he spent so much time over in the lab drawing.
Yeah.
You know, architecture, you're on the board a long time.
Yep.
It doesn't matter, but I'm just...
So, no, I don't think... It doesn't seem to bother much. I don't recall any... because he was around and did help out.
I remember one time when Grandma Schneider was visiting us, and I'd make a big roast, and then we'd slice off slices, you know, big slices. And one to each child. And somebody at the table wanted another slice, and Grandma was with us, and they all said, "No, that's all you have. If you're hungry, eat some bread." Grandma said, "Oh, give that boy another piece of meat." She was so disgusted.
Well, we kind of ration things out. Oh, well. Of course, the fact that we're so slim, it's in the genes, not what we fed them. I don't know. It's amazing we survived.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had two boys who were 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
One who was 6'5", and then other boys who were shorter, but they could still eat quite a bit.
Larry was the one who was kind of left behind the door as far as size was concerned. Mark, you know, he was, what, 6'1"? He was pretty sturdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty sturdy. He was always fairly active.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to run to the bathroom before we go out.
You know, he had a crush on this little gal in Chicago.
Oh, yeah?
He bicycled to Chicago with a 3-speed bicycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slipped in a dryer. Did you hear about that?
Slipped in a dryer?
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
Well, I knew he went to Chicago, but I haven't heard the heard the details of that.
The laundry. He stopped in a laundry. Well, you know, it took a couple of days. And so he was always looking for some place to sleep.
Yeah.
And this was a laundromat. He saw a laundromat open, and I think he crawled into one of the big dryers.
Oh, I didn't hear. I don't remember.
Yeah, he slept in a dryer.
Yeah, it's resourceful.
You have to ask him about that sometime.
Oh, he'll tell me he didn't remember, but we'll
see. That's being Twitter-pated when you're... bicycle all the way to Chicago.
Didn't he sleep like in the back of a pickup truck too, I think?
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah.
And so he got up to Chicago, and how long did he stay in Chicago?
I don't know. You have to ask him that.
Mm.
I don't even know where he stayed in Chicago. But
how many miles is that?
Pardon?
How many miles from here to Chicago?
I don't know.
About 300. 300? 250?
What?
250 to 300?
Yeah.
And he did that in 3 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's right. He did crawl in the back of a pickup that was in parked there behind a filling station and slipped.
Well, that explains his love for bicycles.
You know, so is he still bicycling?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you bet.
Yeah.
So rides all over.
We used to ride out to the ledges all the time.
Pardon?
We used to ride out to the ledges all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Not all the time, but...
Oh, yeah, that back road, yeah.
So what was out at the ledges that you guys would ride to?
It's a state park.
Just some place to go, something to do.
And there was a...
Well, they have their insect collections. That was one of the reasons they went there.
Well, the Des Moines River... It cut through some pretty good bluffs, and then there was a little stream that went into the Des Moines River, and so it's kind of lots of bluffs, limestone bluffs.
I think I remember going
and
there.
Mark and Carl were into collecting butterflies and moths, so they made a couple of big white panels. Then they would go out at night, you know, and set up the panel and put a light on it. Well, they carried these panels on their bikes over to the ledges and set up so they could catch moths.
Yeah.
Well, they were always into something.
Oh, Frank and Larry did that too.
Yeah, Frank and Larry did that too. the conservation, Story County Conservation Building, still has Larry's butterfly insect collection. When he left, we donated it to the conservation center out here.
Yeah, wow.
They used to put on display, but it's gotten to, it began to look a little moth-eaten. Yeah. So I don't know what they did with it.
Was it
oh yeah, we made boxes, nice boxes with lids. Projects.
Yeah. I think all of your kids benefited from your staying home with them and doing these projects with them, and also just allowing them to do these projects. I mean, I know a lot of parents today, most parents wouldn't let their kids go right out and set up moth stations and stuff like that. That's pretty unheard of.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing that really amazes me is, you know, I went to the Boundary Waters in junior high with Mike and Dave, my friend, with the junior high group. We did that 3 times. And then between our junior and senior year, the 3 of us and 1 other person went up to the Boundary Waters in Canada all by ourselves for 10 days.
Wow.
And it boggles my mind that they let us do that. I mean, there was nothing, no internet, we did everything by mail, getting our maps.
Sure.
And we had no idea where we were going. We'd never been there.
Yeah.
I didn't even have my driver's license.
Adventure.
That's right, Grandpa. That's right.
Well, that's the way I was. I was born free, and so why can't you guys do that?
I mean, it just boggles my mind that it was a trip like that.
It was a PE teacher that got him going, though.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Geis.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just, to this day, I just think, what were they thinking of letting us do that?
But you enjoyed it.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, those are all learning experiences.
Yeah,
you learn to persevere.
Of course, it was a lot easier to cross the border back then, too.
Sure.
But all you had to do was have your birth certificate.
Well, I was forced to go on one of those excursions one time because Mark was going to go, but you or Ben had the measles or something, so he couldn't go.
Yeah.
So there were 6 of them. Yes. We had
4 of us.
I thought we had 3 canoes.
No, I just had
Jim.
2.
Jim and Larry and Carl. Well, Frank wasn't along, though, was he?
Uh-huh.
You and me. I don't know. Anyhow, I had never been canoeing before, you know, and I'm going with Paul, and I'm in the bow of that thing, see, and I'm kind of steering, and I couldn't understand why we were wandering back and forth. And finally, I started taking a little peek back, see? Well, he had this big can of gorp, I guess it was. Yeah. And every time I looked back, his hand was in that gorp. He wasn't doing any paddling and steering. Trying to maneuver this thing from the bow.
Had to fuel the boiler, man.
I never will forget that. But that was very enjoyable. We didn't ever catch any fish, except the last day, you know.
Yeah.
Remember, and Carl went went out and caught this big northern, and so they cut that baby in pieces, you know, rolled it in cornmeal, had their little sweaty stove fixed. That was the best fish I can remember eating. Oh, that was good. Last day.
Yeah. That camp food is pretty good.
Man, I tell you.
Yeah.
So how old were you at that on that trip?
The trip that Dad went with?
Yeah.
Let's see. You remember what year that was, Dad?
What?
Remember what year that was?
It had to be 2 years before I retired.
2 years before I retired, yeah.
Wasn't it?
So 88?
88, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, Jim was along.
Maybe there were there three canoes?
I think there were three canoes. Jim and Carl and you and me and Mark. No, Mark wasn't there. I don't know, maybe there were only two canoes. Maybe that was it. Might have been. But it was a good adventure.
No, I don't think Jim was with us. It was just Carl, Larry, you and me.
Yeah. Well, you know, occasionally you had a portage, those darn things. And so these packs were 60 pounds. So I'd get one on my back and one on my front while they took the canoes. And we were moving along on this corduroy, and I slipped off.
Oh, like the boardwalk?
Slipped off the board, the corduroy, of course, and it's just muck, muck, you know. And I had these packs on, and I got down on all fours in this mucky muck, see. Well, I was leading the pack, so, you know, it walked by and said, "Hey, have a little problem, Dad?" I could no more get those hands out of that. They were about to help me.
Yeah. Well, they had canoes on their backs. How could they help you?
Pardon?
I said they had canoes on their backs.
Well, I know.
That was a bad water portage.
Yeah, it was bad water, right. It was a bad water portage. Well, that's the one you and Frank took. Two or three times until you figured out that you didn't know where you were going.
No, that was a different one.
That was a different one.
That was the one we got lost, yeah.
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 Okay.
There is truth to be said, you'll walk in circles in the woods.
I've done it myself.
Yes. One particular portage we.
We thought we
had the portage, but it's more like an animal trail.
Do you have that collage?
Yeah, I do.
You got the collage, yeah, of our trip.
But we ran out of trail, so we just thought, well, it's not that far to the next lake, so we'll just keep going. Frank, being the moose that he was, he had the canoe and a pack, and then I had the two other packs, and I was following. And I fell down and had the packs on such that I couldn't get them off, so I couldn't get back up.
Yeah, okay.
And he just left me. Just plowing through the woods. And finally, I got
his attention. That would be Frank plowing through the woods.
Finally, I got his attention. He came back and uprighted me. And we continued on, so I don't know. Half hour, 45 minutes. We
finally guess I don't remember that.
And pulled the maps out. We're all excited. Nothing looks right, and so we turn the maps upside down, and we're looking at the lake we just left, and everything matches perfect. So we came in, we came out like 100 feet from where we went in.
Oh, jeez.
Complete circle.
Hilarious.
So we loaded up the canoe, got back in the water, and about another 100 feet down the shore was like this highway of a portage.
Well, you guys had a good childhood then. Well, I think you spent most of your time down here in the ravine.
Well, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Creating all all kinds of mayhem and destruction.
Yeah.
They may quit serving at 2.
We might miss it.
All right, Grandma, we're out of here.
Okay.